Good morning. Today's daf and bav metzias mem. We are in Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We have two stories in order to complete yesterday's daf, which we're going to do right now. And then, obviously, we move to today's daf. Yesterday, we spent our time talking about one topic, and that would be Karov, a relative going ahead and managing a relative's property. In other words, relative was taken into captivity, and so obviously the property now is unmanned. And so would he want somebody to go ahead and care for the property? So generally the answer is no, meaning that somebody comes and takes care of my property. How do I know he's going to take good care of my property? And how do I know he's not going to exploit and take advantage and just simply and only be interested in profit and no interest in maintenance and upkeep? And I don't know. I don't know if I can trust anybody. But if it's a relative, so that's somebody generally that you could trust in. So a discussion that we had yesterday, whether or not a karuv can be yored. A karuv can go in and take care of the property. And the karuv is going to do so, but not for free. In other words, you're going to be spending all that time working on the property. So you're going to be getting some sort of payment. The payment's going to come in the form of profit sharing. In other words, otherwise known as sharecropping. So what you'll do is you'll go into the property, whatever the standard rate of sharecropping is, right? The Gemara says it just really depends on where you live and whatever the standard rate is. It's a quarter, it's a third, it's a half. Whatever the standard rate of sharecropping is, so then you'll sharecrop. And by sharecropping, not only are you going to be sharing in profits, but you also, if there's appreciation of land, so you get a share of that as well. Okay, so so you can have a karuv go in and start maintaining the property at the sharecropper's rate. Okay, and I say it as if it's not subject to a debate. If you go back and you review yesterday's Gemara, you'll remember it was a debate whether or not this is a position you can advocate or not advocate. But the position of Shmuel, the position of Shimon Gamliel, is that you can be yored. A karuv can be yored. Good. So with that stated, and yesterday, I'm really simplifying yesterday's daf. There are many details within this halacha. We spent the entire daf yesterday talking about this halacha. So I'm just giving a gross oversimplification of yesterday. But that's what we did yesterday. With that in mind, so let's just wrap up the whole discussion with a story. Really two stories, but story number one. Hayisavta. So you can find me on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, and we are towards the top of the Amud. So we're going to start with an elderly woman, Davia Yitlas Banase, and she had three sons, Ishtabai Ihi V'chadabarta. Sorry, let's just immediately correct myself. She had three daughters, okay? Not sons, but rather daughters. So the elderly woman had three daughters, and she and one of the daughters was taken into captivity. So Ishtabai Ihi V'chadabarta V'idach Tarte Banasa of the two non-captive daughters, so one of them had a son, a minor, and the one who had the son, she passed away. Okay, so if you're following the story well now, so basically we have one daughter in captivity, one daughter passed away, having left a son, and a minor son, and one daughter who is not taken captive. Okay, so I'm Rabbi Hechenavin. Okay, now, Safta over here, so the elderly woman, so she was taken to captivity. Is she alive? Is she dead? We don't know. We simply don't know what her current status is. But she has properties that need to be taken care of. And so now what are we going to do? So look, minu l'nichse biyad adachta. So the Gemara says, so what should we do? Meaning, should we now have one of the daughters? I say one of the daughters. There's only one now that's available. So should we have the one daughter? So and should she go ahead and should she do maintenance on the property? Marid and Karuv Lenichse Shavui, like we learned in yesterday's daf, the position of the Rashbag. So the Gemara says, Demashchiva Safta. The problem, of course, is that, well, look, we don't know the status of the old woman, and it could very well be that she died. The Ain Marid and Karuv Lenichse Katan. And what then was going to happen, what then would be happening is that you have a Yerusha, meaning if the old woman is now passed away, so now you have a Yerusha. Well, who's going to Yarshin? Well, there is one of her daughters that's with her in captivity. We don't know her status as well. But currently here, we have a daughter and we have a grandson. Now, the grandson is one of the Yorshim. In other words, the grandson obviously is coming via his mother and he's going to be one of the Yorshim. And so now what you're going to be having is that you're going to have a relative that's working the land on behalf of a katan. And if you remember in yesterday's daf, we said you can't do that. That's a no-no. We're worried about exploitation. We're worried about anyway, you can't do that. So nukme l'nechse biyad d'inuka d'malo shvicha safta. And so what are you going to do now? Are we going to ask the miner to go ahead and do maintenance on the property? Again, going back to yesterday's daf, you can do that as well. So because we don't know the status, the current status right now of the mother, grandmother, right, the elderly woman, because we don't know her status, so right now we're kind of stuck in terms of who to appoint maintenance over the property. Okay, so it's a problem. So I'm Rabbi Yilkach Palgi Avinala Achta V'idach Palda Mokminale Apotropoli Yanuka. So Abai says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to split it. In other words, we're going to take the property and we're going to split it. Half of it will be maintained by the daughter, and half of it will ask an apotropos to go ahead and advocate on behalf of the minor. So Rav Amar Migo in the Mokmin Apotropos Lapalga Mokmin Lapotropos Idach Palga. So and Rav says, listen. Anyway, you are establishing an apotropos for the minor and half the property. Ask him, ask the apotropos to go ahead and take care of the whole property. Okay, now, as the story continues, so now the woman, it was discovered that she died while in captivity. So the Amar Abaye, Tilsi Avinu La'achta, V'Tilsi Avinu La'liyanuka. So now Abaye says, here's what we're going to do. And that is, I'm sorry, to appreciate Abaye now, so the just one more important detail, and that is that we know that the Safta passed away, but the daughter that was taken into captivity with her, we don't know her current status. Okay, that's why right now things are going to get more complicated, because now we're definitely looking at a Yerusha. We just simply don't know how many Yerushim we're talking about. It's either going to be two or three. So Amar Abaye. So on this, Abaye comes up with the following ruling. Tilsi avina la'achta, v'tilsi avina la'liyanuka. So a third gift to the daughter that's currently here, a third gift to the grandson that's currently here, because again, he's yarshining via his mother. Okay, good. So in other words, we are going, and that last third, we don't know if the yorish of that last third is alive or not alive. V'idach tilsa, yavina danka, la'achta, v'idach danka, mukmela apotropa la'liyanuka. So what we'll do is that we'll keep that third, that last third, sectioned off. And in terms of maintenance, so it will be maintained by the sister that's here, the minor that's here. Obviously, with the minor, you'll appoint an apotropos. So in other words, currently right now for that last third, so it'll be partially maintained by both of the yorshim, the sister and the minor. Rav Amar Miga de Mukim Apotropos Ladanka Mukmina Nami Apotropos Idachtanka. And again, Rav says the same thing. Once you are appointing an apotropos on part of the property, you can appoint an apotropos on the entire remaining section of the property. Okay, so it takes us to the end of story number one. Story number one, we just saw in practice, somebody was taken into captivity, and whether or not you're going to be asking family members to go and maintain the property. And again, issues of who can we ask to maintain, a minor being unable to maintain, all go back to yesterday's daf. Okay, so the we are going to one more story before we move on to today's daf. Mari Bar Isak Asalei Acha mi Bechuzai. So Mari Bar Isak was visited by his long lost brother. Okay, or at least so claims long lost brother. Okay, no. So here comes now a brand new brother that you never heard about and that you never knew, and Amarli Plogli. Now, we go past the reunion, we go past all the emotion, and now, right? Let's get to the money aspect of it, and that is that good? In other words, as now being a member of the family and a long lost brother. So, in other words, I understand that dad died, and I understand that there was a large estate. So, okay, good. So, I'm a Yorish. So, I'm entitled to half the estate. So, Amarle lo yadanalach. So, Mari Bar Isak now makes what seems to be a really legitimate claim. You know, up until today, I never heard about you. And now all of a sudden you introduce yourself. And I have no recognition of you whatsoever. And the idea that you're my brother, in other words, do you have any proof? Any proof whatsoever? So, Asalakame, the Rav Chista. So they go in front of Rav Chista, and now the question becomes the following. So can we establish paternity? Okay, in this case, fraternity. So can we establish fraternity? And so obviously we're without any kind of DNA evidence. So a little bit before that period of time. So what can we do, if anything? So Amalei Shpir Shapir Kamerlach. So Shenemar Viyakir Yosef is a Chavehim Lo Ikiru. Malamit Shiyatzah Below Chasim Azakan Uva BeChasim Azakan. So first of all, Rav Chista says this claim of Mari Bar Isak, it's a legitimate claim, meaning he doesn't recognize you. That's valid. Consider the fact that what happened was is that just a short while after Yosef disappears from the family. Now, he doesn't disappear, by the way. Everyone here knows the story. But in other words, if I could just make the story a little bit nicer. So he disappears from the family, and then a reunion in which the brothers don't recognize Yosef. Why? Because when he left, he was 17 years of age. He didn't have a beard. And then when they get reunited, what is it, some 13 years later? Right? My numbers are good. So, right, at 30, they get reunited? No? When he wasn't 30 at the time? All right, whatever. Okay. Now I'm doing the math. He spent 10 years in jail. He spent another 2 years in jail. And then there were 2 years of famine. I'm sorry, then there were 7 years of plenty. Okay, no, I'm sorry. My numbers, it was later than that. Okay, fine. It was more. Anyway. Okay, and then there were 2 years of famine. Okay. So, 21 years. Okay. Anyway. So 21 years later, let me not get overly distracted. So 21 years later, so now they see Yosef, and Yosef is complimented with a full beard. And they don't recognize Yosef. In other words, they knew him up until he was 17 years of age. And now they don't recognize him. Okay. So in other words, once you grow a beard, it's going to be difficult to recognize, if not impossible. So this idea that Mar Bar Yisak says, I don't recognize you, that's legitimate. Okay, fine. So now what this brother has to do, this long-lost brother, is he's got to bring proof positive that he, in fact, is a brother. So Amar Lei Zil Aisi Sahadi Da'achuat. So now Rav Chista turns to the long-lost brother and says, look, he's right, and you need to bring proof, and you need to bring evidence. Amar Lei Yisle Sahadi V'dechalaminei De'gavralimahu. So this long-lost brother said, look, I have witnesses. They're ready to testify that I am, in fact, a brother. It just happens to be that this Mari Bar Yisak, he's not a lightweight. He's a heavyweight. And when I say heavyweight, what I mean by that is he's an extraordinarily intimidating man. And nobody is prepared to go ahead and testify against him. And over here, this is basically testimony against him. In other words, we're going to be taking away half the Yerusha, and everyone is terrified of him. He's terrifying. So Amar Lei Lididei Zil An Vaisisad Lavachucha At. So Rav Chista now turns to Mari Bar Yisak and says, you know what? Taka, you're going to bring witnesses that testify that he's not your brother. Now, how exactly does that work? So I will pause only for a moment to let you think about it. I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I have no idea how you go ahead and bring such witnesses. But as you'll see, as the story continues, it's not because this is the din. In fact, the Gemara immediately comments. So Amarle Dina Hachi. So Mari Bar Yisak says to Rav Chista, like that can't be right. In other words, right. In other words, aside from this challenge of proving that I'm not his brother, right? That in of itself is nearly impossible. But aside from that, meaning I'm right now who the one holding the money. So who's the burden of proof on? None on me. So, okay, again, we know it's rule number one when it comes to mamnas. Number one, the one holding the money, he doesn't have the burden of proof. The one claiming the money, he has the burden of proof. We all know this. So, Rav Chista said, look, in other words, you're right. This is not the baseline halacha. However, this is what we're going to do to you, and this is what we're going to do to all your friends. In other words, this Mari Bar Yisak, so I called him intimidating. Really, I should have used even stronger adjectives to describe him. In other words, he's a bully, but more than a bully, right? In other words, why are people terrified of him? So he must have really engaged in abusive behavior. And so effectively, what Rav Chista is saying to him is, look, you're right. This is not the strict letter of the law, but you're going to be intimidating and you're going to scare witnesses away. Okay, I'm going to do this to you. Obviously, by the way, just for a moment, we can, you know, just be impressed with, you know, Mari Bar Yisak is intimidating, and Rav Chista is not intimidated. Okay, that's you know, point for Rav Chisda. So Amrale sof sof asisad velamasade. So Mari Bar Yisik says, so I'm going to bring witnesses and they're not going to testify. So in other words, Amrale tartelo avde. So I'm not going to assume, Rav Chisda says back to Mari Bar Yisik, I'm not going to assume that the witnesses are going to be doing one of two things. And that is, as Rashi explains, so so in other words, that they know something to be true, and on top of that, they're going to now go to the court and testify falsely, meaning I don't assume witnesses are going to do that. So in other words, if you have any kind of testimony whatsoever, and they come into court, once they come into court, I'm going to assume that they're going to say whatever they feel is accurate and true. Eventually the story continues, and that is witnesses came and said that they were in fact brothers. So Amrale, so Lifla Linami, me parts in the Desu Bustani, Deshaso. So now that this long lost brother has in fact been proven to be a long lost brother, so now not only does he get the Yerusha, but he also wanted appreciation as well. In other words, I'm not only entitled to half the property, but in other words, he appreciated it, and I want half that appreciation. Amarle shapir kamalach dinan. So he niach banim gedolim ketanim v'yishbichu gedolim esen echazim yishbichu lemtza. In fact, that is the halacha, and that is that when we're talking about a Yerusha and the apportion of a Yerusha, so not only do we look at the estate at the time of death, but if there is subsequent appreciation of the estate post-mortem, that also is going to be divided equitably amongst the brothers. So his claim that he should be receiving not just half the estate, but half the appreciation as well, that is in fact a legitimate claim. So Rabbi says the same thing as we now turn to the top of today's daf. So Amalei Abayi Midami Hasam Gedolim Gabi Ketan Miyadi V'Kamachle Hacha Miyadi Delechel. And Abaye says, not a fair comparison. Meaning, the halacha that you cited from Baba Basra, that's talking about where we know exactly who the Yershim are. The Yershim are a family made up of brothers who are adults and brothers who are minors. And when the adult brothers now are working the estate property, so they're working on behalf of the minors. How do I know they're working on behalf of the minors? Because they know they have brothers. And so they know that whatever appreciation occurs to this property, there will be equitable distribution of the appreciation. We know that. However, in this particular case, Mari Bar Yisik, when he was working and appreciating the property, he didn't know about his long-lost brother. And you can't just simply say, I'm going to invest and appreciate this property on behalf of somebody I don't know. In other words, no, he's not going to be mochel. He's not working on behalf of somebody else. So so Abaye feels that the comparison is, in fact, not a fair comparison. So, Iga Gomilsa. So, Umatal Kamede Rabbi Ame. So, this was an exciting psak. In other words, imagine. In other words, you have a long lost brother who now we first are establishing fraternity, right? We have witnesses who establish fraternity. And on top of that, now the subsequent claim of not only do I get half the Yerusha, but I get half the appreciation as well. A discussion and the deliberation of whether or not that's in fact correct or not a correct psak. It's exciting. So, this psak now was basically shuttled around town. Got to Rabbi Ami. Amr Lahu. So Rabbi Ami said to them. In other words, apparently he's in Shir. And Rabbi Ami now is talking to the Talmidim. And Gedola Mizu, Amro, Shaman, Lahem Karis. So Hashta Didei. So Lo Yavin Alei. So now Rabbi Ami's comment on that is as follows. And that is that, let's go back to our discussion. Meaning, hopefully you're wondering, while we're going through the whole story, why are we doing the story right now? Meaning, that in of itself is a fair question. But over here, it's because of the following connection. And that is what Rabbi Ami said. What did Rabbi Ami say? He noted our halacha. And that is a karov going down to Nechse Shavui. In other words, if I have a relative working now the land, maintaining the land of somebody, of a family member, who was taken into captivity... So Amru Shamalem Karis, and in terms of What's his pay scale? What's his rate? His rate is going to be a standard sharecropper. Now, standard sharecropper. So the hashda. So lo yahavinale. So I'm sorry. Dide lo yahavinale. So the so in other words, if I have now a relative working on behalf of a person taken into captivity, and he's going to be getting his rate. So you wouldn't imagine that Mari Bar Isik, who's working on his very own property, for sure should, in the very minimum, in the very least, be collecting the rate of a sharecropper. So now they send Rabbi Ami's comment over to Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, okay, not comparable. When you have a family member going in, maintaining the land of somebody taken into captivity, so there he's going in, licensed. He has permission. He's sanctioned to do so. But over here, so Mari Bar Isik, with the, in other words, again, he didn't know about his brother, but, in other words, post facto, he had no right to go ahead and work half the land. Half the land that he was working, he had no entitlement to do so. The ode. So katan huvein moridin katan lenechse achiv, and also at the time of death, so the brother was a minor, and ein moridin karov lenechse katan, and you can't do that. In other words, maintaining the property of someone taken into captivity, so that's only allowed when the person's an adult. But when the person's a minor, then you're not allowed to do so. As per what we learned in yesterday's daf, again, we're worried about exploitation, and so therefore, Mari Bar Isik did not have the right to maintain the other half.
But so he didn't know he had a brother, so as far as it's concerned, it's all his own.
Correct. I understand. We're looking at it retrospectively. I agree with you. But still, this is your point is very well taken, but this is how Rav Chisda viewed it. So, Ajula kami de Rabbi Ami Amar Lahu, lo samu kami de katanhu. So, they took Rav Chisda's comment, they sent it back to Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami said, oh, that was a really good point. And oh, by the way, I didn't know that the brother was a katan at the time. So in other words, I wasn't given all the information. And now that I'm given all the information, so now I'm going to acknowledge that Rav Chisda is correct in the manner in which he paskened. Adkan. That was a long sentence. A moment to breathe. Okay. We're in Mem Amud Aleph. We're starting now the Mishnayos, a series of Mishnayos. Okay, over here, we're going to go through this, I would say, in a little bit of a quicker scale. We are going to be going over just a lot of details in terms of being a shomer. Okay, we are going to be talking about rates. Well, let's just see it inside without fancy introduction. Amavki peretzetzo chavero, sorry, yotze zeh chesronos. Okay, so you were entrusted to watch and you're watching fruit. Now, again, we're talking about perishables over here. We already have the discussion of what happens if the perishables are really now coming, devaluating and getting to a point of zero. What do you do at that point in time? We already had that discussion. That's not our discussion right now. But when it comes to pears, when it comes to fruit, and again, as we'll see over here, we're not just limiting our comments to fruit. It's fruit, it's grain, it's basically any kind of food item. So there's an assumption that the... that there's going to be a loss. In other words, fruit are going to inflate, deflate. I'm not talking about its value. I'm talking about the actual physical fruit itself. In other words, it hydrates, it dehydrates. And so as a result of that, so when you return the fruit, it is totally understood that there will be a change, a rate change. And this is built into the Shmira. So how much is fruit ready to normally diminish? That gets factored in. So first the Mishnah gives us rates. Please forgive me. I'm not going to go through each one of the grains and each one of its rates. In other words, see the schedule, okay? If you want to understand it better, read the English. But anyway, they're just various rates for various grains. And then the Mishnah says is that it's going to be hakolafi amida, depending on how much we're talking about, and hakolafi azman, and it's also going to be based on season. It's seasonal.
Why do we care? If you give someone a certain amount, you give them back whatever decomposed from that amount.
Right. Okay. Good. Perfect. In other words, hold your question. Your question is going to get answered in the Gemara. Perfect. Meaning, Harisha Cholafanecha is what you're advocating. Perfect. Am Rav Yochanan Ori V'chima Achbalan LaAchbarim V'alo Ochlos Bein Maharbe Bein Mekima Ela Eino Yoselo Chesronos Ela Lekor Echad Bavad. Now Rav Yochanan Ori assumes that if there's any diminishment, it's because of the Achbar. It's because of the rats. Okay. So the rats come and they eat. But Rav Yochanan Ori is assuming that that's the only cause of diminishment. Because of the rats. And as far as the rats are concerned, the rats are operating with a very fixed diet. Doesn't matter to the rats whether there's a lot of fruit there or there's a little bit of fruit. And so it's going to be fixed. It's going to be korichad. Okay. I know that also is a variable. It depends on how many rats we're looking at. But the point of Rav Yochanan Ori is that it's not going to be a rate based on how much volume there is. It's just simply going to be a flat amount based on the number of rats that there are. And so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan Ori, it's just a function of one set amount. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Imaisa Mida Meruba, Ina Motzi Lo Chesron, and Mimnesha Mosiros. And then Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that, look, if it's a lot that you were asked to watch, just the opposite. It's not going to diminish. In fact, it's only going to expand. Okay. So over here, we're going in a lot of different directions in terms of fruit and in terms of the amount, whether it contracts, using a formula of rate, whether it contracts using not a formula of rate, but just a fixed amount, or the third option in this Mishnah is that maybe it might even expand and it might even get bigger in numbers. There's a lot going on over here, obviously, in the Mishnah. So, or is tuva chaser. So the Gemara says, as far as rice is concerned, so the or is diminishes at a much greater rate. Now again, by the way, for people living in such an agricultural community where they're so in touch with storage of grain, storage of rice, like to them, these questions are obvious. To you and I'll speak for myself, I have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. But in other words, I trust that when the Gemara is looking at rice, the Gemara is like, rice? Are you kidding? Have you seen how much it diminishes during storage? Okay. So I'm Rav Yochanan, but Oris Kaluf Shanu. Okay, we're talking about peeled rice. Everyone settle down. It's peeled rice does not diminish at that kind of rate. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about, but obviously the Gemara does. L'kusman l'zerapishan shoshasan l'kor Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Abichia zerapishan begiv olin shanu. So as we're talking about the pishan, we're talking about the flax. So we're talking about in the give ol, in the chaff. Am I saying it right? Okay. I hope I am. Okay, good. And it's husk. Tanya nami achi lekus ben lezer pishon begiv olin laores she'inu kalof. Shosha sayin lekor. Good. And the rate that was provided in the Mishnah is going to be assuming, here the Braisa tells us the assumptions, right? The Mishnah expects us to know it. The Braisa says it. And that is that the zer and the pishon are going to be in the husk and the rice is going to be where it's non-peeled. Okay. Hakol afi amida tana kain lekol kor v'kor v'kain lechol shana v'shana. So as far as these rates are concerned, these rates are going to be computated based on how many korim, meaning it's a rate. So in other words, it's per kor and it's per annum. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Yochanan Menuri v'chule tanya amar lo le Reb Yochanan harbe ovdos mehen v'harbe mispazos mehen. So now, in terms of the response to Rav Yochanan Ori, meaning Rav Yochanan Ori challenged in our Mishnah, and he said, it's not a rate. It's ridiculous. In other words, the only reason why there's any depletion is because of the rats. And they're eating a fixed amount. So Rav Yochanan Ori says, this is not a rate issue. Now, what we didn't hear in the Mishnah is, what's the pushback against Rav Yochanan Ori? Meaning Rav Yochanan Ori got to say his say in the Mishnah, but like, in other words, was there a reaction? Yes. Strong reaction. Tanya, Amru lo le Rabbi Yochanan. That's what the Braisa is supplementing. What's the reaction of the Chachamim to Rabbi Yochanan? And that is Harbe Ovdos Mehem, Harbe Mispazos Mehem. So the, in other words, the response is You're wrong. In other words, there are other causes other than the rats in terms of increase and diminishment. Good.
Yeah, but you don't know how many mice there are. There might be more mice than there are.
Correct. And also the... right. And as Tosus points out over here, meaning that, Rav Chaim, you're right. In other words, at face value, with the counter argument to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is, you know, there could be more mice. And right, that, but Tosus points out over here, that's not even the that's not even the real response. The real response, is that the cause of increase and decrease is not a function of the rats and mice, but rather it's because of hydration, dehydration. Okay, as will become evident in just a moment. Tana. Okay, now we get to David's point. Okay, when we learned the Mishnah, David just looked at the Mishnah incredulously, and he said, it can't be. It can't be that, in other words, you were asked to watch something, and now, in other words, what we're going to do is that we're going to assume inflation, deflation. Again, inflation, deflation, I'm not talking value, I'm talking about the actual content, right? It will diminish. What do you mean? Whatever it is, that's what it is. Meaning we have a general rule throughout Shas, HaReisha Chalaf Anecha. You gave me something to watch, or alternatively, I stole something. As long as the item was untouched, right? And I didn't abuse the item, right? Or I don't have to use such a strong term, right? In other words, I didn't misappropriate. So if I didn't misappropriate, so then what do? Is I just simply hand it back as is. That's it. So over here, you gave me grain to watch. Okay, here it is back. It's not exactly the same volume. I understand. There's a fluctuation of volume. That's the assumption. They give an assumption that this whole discussion. What do we need to know a rate for? In other words, there's no need to know a rate. You gave it to me. I gave it back to you. It diminished in value. Okay. It diminished in size. Good. Hareisha chalafanecha. Why isn't that the governing rule? Such a strong question.
It's also the reason why we have kidneys now.
Oh, yes. It's right. Right. Correct. So, Hareisha Cholofanecha. So, Tana. So to that, we are going to now receive the answer. It really is the answer. Tana. Bamed Varma Morim, She Irvanim Perosav, Aval Yiche Lo Keren Zavis, Omer Locha, Hareisha Cholofanecha. The entire knowledge base of our Mishnah, that you have to know the rate, that's talking about where when you were given the fruit, you mixed it together with your fruit. Okay, now. I have to admit, as I prepared, learned the Gemara, like in other words, it doesn't sound like it's the most prudent maneuver on the part of the Shomer. Oh, you're going to give me fruit to watch? Okay, perfect. I'll just mix it together with mine. What? In other words, wouldn't you want to keep it separate? Okay. There obviously has to be a gain, which I don't understand, but that's fine. I don't have to understand everything. It'd be nice if I did, but in other words, but over here, our Mishnah is describing the scenario in which you took his fruit. Obviously, you weighed it, volume. Okay, the measurement, the measuring unit that we're using over here seems to be more volume than it is weight. So let's go with volume. Okay, but the point is that you measured it, and then what you did is you mixed it together with your fruit. Now you need to know how much should I be giving back. So now what you're going to do is that you're going to weigh to give it back. Now that you're waiting to give it back, but there's a rate of diminishment. It's mixed together with my fruit. Now you open up the Gemara and Bava Metzia to Daf Mem, today's Daf, and now you see, if it's rice, so here's going to be its rate of diminishment. Okay, good. And so what you'll do now is you'll weigh it, but obviously you'll then figure out how much it's supposed to diminish, and then you give it back to him. That's our entire Mishnah. Is in a case where you mixed it together. So the Gemara says, okay, so I still don't understand. Meaning you mixed it together with your fruit. You know how much fruit you had. So just deduct the amount of fruit that you had and go ahead and give them the remainder. So the Gemara says, Bemistopic man. So this makes my head spin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what you did, however? In other words, you took some of your own. So you don't know how much of yours is still there. So Valechse Kami Stapik, Deloya de Kami Stapik. The Gemara says, yeah, and you don't know how much of your own you took. Okay, so In terms of deducting simply your own, that's an unknown quantity. The only thing you know for sure is how much he gave you. That we measured out before he gave it to you. And so now you know how much he gave you. You mix it together with your own. You don't know how much yours is. Again, makes my head spin because it sounds like a little bit negligent. It sounds a little bit negligent, but still. In other words, there is a... Now what we're going to learn together is that there's a rate of diminishment. Go to see our Mishnah and use that, and that will formulate for us how much you need to return. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Haisa. So, Kama Mida Meruba. Okay, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. If he gave you a lot, it expands. The Gemara says, how does that work? Amar Abba Barbachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Asarakurin, Tanyin Amihachi, Kama Mida Meruba Asarakurin. So, how does it work? I don't know. but how much is a lot? So asar kurin. That's 10 kor. So 10 kor is a lot. A kor is 30 sa. Okay, the 30 sa. A mikvah is 40 sa. So basically, you know, give or take, it's about 8 mikvahs. Okay, if you want to just kind of see how much we're talking about. Tini tanakem ed Rav Nachman ba med varam amorim shemad lo mitoch karno. So the... Okay, so in terms of reducing the amount of return based on diminishment, okay, in other words, there's a rate of diminishment, and that rate of diminishment, the schedule's in our Mishnah, and it's true that you don't have to give back the same that you took. That's true. But that's only if you're using the same types of measuring units. In other words, he gave it to you from the Goren. So in the Goren, so there's a lot there. And the measuring units are large measuring units. They're measuring, I'm just using our measuring units. They're measuring by the gallons. They're measuring maybe by the quarts. But in other words, so then when you're using such big measuring units, so then you're going to go ahead and you're going to reduce based on the rate of diminishment, see our Mishnah. However, if let's say when given to you and trusted to you to wash, we're using the large measuring units of gallons, and then when returning it, you're using the measuring units of, let's say, your home, right? Cups and tablespoons. Okay, so then we are going to assume at that point in time is that you don't have to go ahead and deduct. So Amalei v'chibu shuftani askinan. So de yavi b'kale rabbe v'shakel b'kale zuta. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Right? If it was measured in one direction using the large measuring units, why in the world when we're returning are you going to be using different measuring units to go and measure? Using the smaller measuring units. Why would you do that? Are we dealing with shuftani? Shuftani is a description of basically, forgive me for saying it, but idiots, morons. So in other words, what are we talking about? So Dilma b'yamos agorin kamart. So maybe what you meant is the following, and that is that yemei hagorin b'medvar mamorim shemadlo b'yamos agorin v'echzlo b'yamos agorin avamadlo b'yamos agorin v'echzlo b'yamos agshamim eni yotzlo chisar mimnei shemosiros. He says maybe what you meant is the following. In other words, you're using the same measuring units in both directions. Maybe what you meant is as follows. Maybe it was deposited and watched in the heat and in the summer, and returned only in the rainy season when it's really humid outside. Now with humidity comes expansion, and so even though it's true there is a rate of diminishment which we learned in the Mishnah, however, if you add humidity to it, the humidity expands it. And by the way, this certainly seems to be a function of volume. Seems to be. But anyway, so, and maybe that's what you meant. So in other words, basically the humidity will offset the diminishment. Yes, it's true. It shrinks in size normally, but then when you add humidity, it expands and basically it offsets. Amalei Rav Papa Labai Im Kein Lifka Kada. So the Gemara says, really? That's so interesting. So you're telling me that the humidity goes ahead and expands it. Well, in other words, if we're talking about expansion because of humidity, you know it's in a jug, and the jug is filled and sealed. Shouldn't the jug break? So, hava uvda pakakada. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, to your question, I've seen it happen. So your question is not a question because I've seen it happen. And Ibai Thema Mishum Itzitza, or the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe, in other words, maybe the jug doesn't break, but the pressure increases. In other words, the amount inside actually increases, but the jug doesn't break simply because it's able to handle that pressure, that extra pressure, the itzitza. But in other words, but once you open it up, you're going to start to see it's like going to almost like leak out. Okay. Anyway. All right. Adkan, that takes us to the first Mishnah of today's daf and Mishnah number 2. We'll start it. We're not going to finish the sugya, but at least let's get started. Yotze lo shesus liayin and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Okay. So we talked about rates of diminishment. So over here, we so far have been talking about the dry goods. Okay. We talked about the grains and the flax and good. So those are mission number 1 of today's daf. And now, so after the dry goods, now we're up to the oils and wines. So we're going to start with the wine. So as far as wine is concerned, so if I deposit wine by somebody, so how much are we talking about in terms of diminishment? It's unbelievable. We're either going to be talking about a sixth or a fifth, right? Somewhere in the ballpark of 18% to 20%. Diminishment. Where's that wine going? Absorbed into the casks that they were held into. Okay? That's okay. Again, not in the business, don't know, but that seems to be a significant amount of loss. But again, it's not loss, it just simply gets absorbed. Rav Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Okay, I read that. Yotzi lo shoshalugim shem lameya. Okay, now we're up to the oils. That was the wine, and now we're up to the oil. So when it comes to oil, shushalogim shem lameya. So it's 3 for every 100, 3%. So the logom echsa shmarim, logom echsa balam. The 1.5 of that 3% is sediment, and 1.5 of that 3% absorbs into the walls of the barrels. Im hayashem mezukak in yotzi lo shmarim. Now if it's absolutely pure oil and it has no sediment, so now it's not a 3% loss, it's only a 1.5% loss. And let's say now it is old barrels that have already been absorbed with previous oils, so now basically, and there's no sediment, so now you don't take off the 1.5% for the sediment, and you don't take off the 1.5% for the absorption into the barrels. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avamoch Hashem Mezukak Lechaver Kol Yimos Hashana, Harize Mekaba Alav Logu Mechzer Shmarim Lameya. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even when you sell, and you're selling pure oil, so what you get to do is that the person who is acquiring is assuming that for every 100 that he buys, he's only going to be receiving 98.5, meaning that is considered fair weights and measurements. In other words, the buyer has to assume that when we say 100, what we really mean is 98.5. Okay. Good. Couple things to go over in our Mishnah, Velo Pligi. First of all, we go back to the wine. So how much is getting absorbed by the barrels when it comes to wine? So it's either going to be 18% or 20%. 18%, by the way, is an estimate. So it's one of those two. And the Gemara says, Velo Pligi, Marki Asre, Marki Asre, Asre Damar, Chafu Bikira Velomait Tve, Basri Damar, Chafu Bikufra Umait Tve. So in terms of the barrels, what are they lining the barrels? And the Gemara goes on to explain that really is no machlokus in the Mishnah. Meaning sometimes it's a fifth, sometimes it's a sixth, it depends on how they line the barrels. And you based on the material they used to line the barrels, so some of them are more porous and more absorbent than others. So you can now assume that if it's a more porous material in which they're lining the barrels, so therefore it's going to absorb more wine. Okay, it's that simple. Ibai sema mishum gargishta. So ha meitza tve, v'halo meitza tve. Alternatively, when making the barrels, in other words, they made the barrels out of earthenware, and the earth that's used to make the earthenware. So depending on which land you're coming from, so some of it's just simply more porous than others. Good. Ba'asri derav yuna ramu arba matam nikuze bedana. So the Gemara tells the following story. In the community of Rav Yehuda, so there was a small measuring unit called a kuza. And how much would the barrel hold? The barrel would hold 48 kuza. Good, so far so good. Azaldana b'shisa zuzay. So, and now, the purchase of a barrel was purchased with 6 zuzim. So, paras Rav Yehuda, shisa b'zuza. And Rav Yehuda, who happened to have been a seller of wine. So, when he would sell wine over the course of the year, so he would sell 6 kuzim for 1 zuz. Now, okay, so we get to just look at a simple business venture over here, and we get to look at how much money he's making. We turn to the top of Mem Amud Beis, Dal Tilsa V'Shisa. So, the first 36 V'Shisa. So that's going to now offset the cost. So in other words, so for 36, the first 36 Kuzim that he's selling, so now that is offsetting the cost, and now from that point going forward, profit margin. Okay, beautiful. Now, what is exactly his profit margin? Well, here's where now he's not maximizing profit. So, Pashalu Tresar. So now, 36 now is offsetting the cost. So now he's got 12 left for profit. But it's 12 left for profit. It's not 12 left for profit. Because remember, how much are we talking about in terms of the absorption of the barrel? So, Tamnaya Shisusi. So, Pashalu Arba. So the Gemara says, so now 8 are getting absorbed into the barrel. So 8 are getting absorbed into the barrel. So now that only leaves him, 4 in terms of a profit margin. So the 4 kuzim. So that is the entire profit margin for the sale of the barrel. So the Gemara says, okay, now 4 kuzim is, on one hand, you're making money. On the other hand, you're not maximizing profit. How much profit are you allowed to maximize?
1/6.
That's it? Yeah, that's the answer. So the answer is that you're allowed to earn up to 1/6. Amar Shmuel Amistakal Yitzaker Yoser Al Shusus. You're not allowed to go over 1/6, which means that you're allowed to earn up to 1/6. So and so over here he's not maximizing his profit, and so the Gemara is just bothered by that. Meaning, if he's going into a business venture, that's very good. Well, why don't you maximize your profit? In other words, make the legally allowable amount of profit. So ikugufa ishmaraya. So the Gemara says, okay, he is maximizing profit because he's not only selling the wine, but he's also selling the barrel as well. He's turning a profit on that as well. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so then isn't he earning more than a shisus? Meaning in the sale of the barrel? So ikatirche udeme barzanaisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, we're looking at his business venture and we're trying to figure out how much he made. Good. But like any business, in other words, it's true. In other words, he is grossing a certain amount, but how much is he netting? So you also have to take into account his labor. That's the tircha. And you have to take into account barzanaisa. Now, what is barzanaisa? So good. So Rashi gives a couple of pshatim in terms of what barzanaisa is. Rashi writes, the marketing costs, says Rashi. Rashi, karzanaisa lashon karza. Lashon acher umnus yesh benikivas barza bechavishal cheres v'tzarech litein schar. Or making a hole in the barrel. Okay. Whichever one it is. In other words, it's another expense that obviously is offset against the gross. So in other words, the Shmuel says that you can't make more than 1/6. That's talking about net. So over here, it's true that his gross may be greater than 1/6, but in other words, that's not what the Isser of Ona'a is, that you're not allowed to net more than 1/6. So the Gemara says, we're good. His business venture is just fine. Kosher, if you will. Okay. Ima Yashuma Mizuka Kyotse Lo Shmarim Vichule. So V'hai Yifshar De Lo Bala. So the Gemara says, now, in the Mishnah, if let's say the barrels were saturated already, so at that point in time, when you're buying the oil, so in other words, normally we take off 3%, 1.5% for the sediment, 1.5% for the absorption. But if the barrel is saturated, you don't take off anything. So the Gemara says, really? In other words, the barrels are not absorbing anything. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman be mizufafim shanu." The barrels were lined with something that really doesn't absorb anything, tar, pitch, whatever that is. And Abai says, no. In other words, once the barrels are old barrels and already used, and once the barrels are already fully saturated and fully absorbed, so then Abai says, I disagree with your premise. Your premise was the barrels don't absorb anything. And Abai says, that's accurate. That's correct. The barrels don't absorb anything. Once they're used barrels and once the barrels are fully saturated, so then they don't, there's nothing for them to absorb. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up with Rabbi Yehuda Omer.